A strange peace surrounds you, and it's like nothing matters. In a good way. In that positive nihilism sort of way that I like to talk about these days. This episode's going to be just a Sunday fireside chat. And I'm not sure if I've done something like this before. If I have, it's only been once or so. And I'm trying to think of a clever name, because fireside chat just doesn't do it for me. This other guy, this president, used that already. And I think it's been used by many other people. So I'm thinking study hall, something general, something school related. Trying not to overthink it. I was thinking free period, independent study. I think study hall is going to be the best bet. Walking over here, I was walking through this subdivision, and each house in this subdivision is more or less the same. It's one of those cookie cutter subdivisions, which, you know, I can't hate on those. You know, all that stuff where people have the code they have to live by, where there's this list of rules. I can't remember what that's exactly called. The covenant. It's called a covenant. Just when you can't remember, you remember. Just when you think you can't do it, you do it. But, you know, these houses that have covenants, you know, as much as I hate the idea of that, and it's a lot of busybody retired people and old people who try to police each other over the smallest things, I can't really hate on it. I understand that need for order. I just think you have to constantly keep it in balance. And it's funny how that need for order, even, you know, because you hear people say like, oh, I'm OCD. I got the OCD, you know, and they don't. They're just basically talking about how they like things a particular way, or they have a very strong opinion about the way something should be done. But you think about just the way that, you know, think about this. Like, if there's a median, you know, a traffic median with trees planted in it or bushes or something like that, and people planted those not in a straight line, if you planted three trees in a traffic median but had them staggered or just randomly placed two closer to each other than the other one, or just any kind of arrangement that isn't a straight line or doesn't represent some form of order or pattern, it would drive people fucking insane. That little thing would drive everybody completely insane, and not just the self-diagnosed, I'm OCD, you know, sort of people. It would drive pretty much everybody insane. Everybody would be making a comment to their spouse about, you know, I hate that they did that. I hate that they didn't put the trees in a line. And it's just, that's all it takes to just completely disrupt people. Is just plant the trees in a random order. And just the entire concept is pretty insane when you think about it. The way that we say, we take nature and we're like, let's put it over here. Not just in traffic medians, not just on the edges of sidewalks where they plant trees to kind of like give you the illusion that nature is still around, even though we've covered everything in liquid stone that hardens so that we can travel quicker on it. Because that's insane. You know, that's completely insane. And I'll never get over that realization. Because I don't think of roads as rock. I don't think of roads as stone. But the reality is, it's as far as matter on this earth goes, it is rock. It is stone. And we liquefy it and we pour it over fucking everything. We build buildings out of it, but we also pour it flat on everything so that we can move better. Move better with our feet, move better with our cars. Even though it's worse for our feet, worse for our joints. If you run on concrete long term, it's really fucking bad for you. Yet we put it down even in the places where we walk because we don't want to get dirty. I guess that's here we go. Like, why do sidewalks exist? You know, I understand roads are easier to drive on, I guess, for cars, or they're just better to drive on. They're just better. It's just better to drive on rock. It's just better to drive on stones. And it's not stones. It's just stone. It's this blanket. It's like one giant rock that we drive over and that connects to everything in weird grid patterns. Here I am like a teenager on psychedelics for the first time. It's just like this grid pattern that connects to everything. But really, like, you think about that, like, sidewalks are bad for your legs and yet we put them on everything. And I guess the reasoning is because it's not dirty. It's so that we can go inside of our houses and not have dirt or mud on our shoes or something like that. I guess that's the reason why we choose to walk on rock instead of putting dirt or something else down where sidewalks go, or just to not walk on grass. Because we really don't want to walk on grass. For whatever reason, we as humans just really don't want to walk on strips of grass along the edge of things, even though you wouldn't get that dirty unless it's a really muddy day, a really rainy day. We want to walk on rock. That's the human motto, walk on rock. That's what we want to do everywhere we go. If there's not rock to walk on, we're not walking and we're not rocking. I'd really love to come up with just universal mottos for humanity. Just walking on rock. If we're not walking, we're not rocking. But yeah, going back to that idea of the order of things, and, you know, just the way that we force order through, like, even just the way we arrange three plants on the edge of a sidewalk or a median, and how disruptive it would be if we don't do that, if we don't space them evenly, that is going to bother probably most people. Most people are going to make a comment. It's going to eat away at most people. Oh, yeah, I remember what I was saying about just the idea of even, like, the fact that we as humans take nature and we think, I think this would look better over here. I think this would look better right in this exact spot. Unfortunately, we don't really judge forests for its chaos or randomness. We don't really look at forests the same way. While we might see three trees that are planted in a row, we really want them to be spaced evenly. We really want them arranged in a particular way. If there's three trees in a row on the median and also a bush, that bush better damn well be in a place that complements the other arrangement. But we don't really look at forests and say, like, Jesus Christ, you know, look at that tree. Look at those three trees right there. Those trees aren't, that one's closer to that one. That one's fucking growing out of the other one. That one's growing out of that one. And that bush, the bushes are all over the place. They're spread around like a fucking, somebody poured them out of a salt shaker. God just sprinkled bushes out of a salt shaker all over that forest, and he didn't pay no mind to the concentration. There's too many bushes in that part of the forest, not enough bushes over there, and they're not arranged in a line. They're not arranged in a line. You know, we don't do that with forests because I guess we understand that that's nature. And instead of trying to arrange the forest or, you know, put some sense of order into it or judge it for its lack of quote unquote order, we just tear it the fuck down. We just tear it down and just say, okay, it's not orderly enough. It doesn't really fit with our system. It doesn't fit with our grid of liquid rock, hardened liquid rock, and perfectly arranged bushes and trees. So we're just going to tear it on down. Instead of trying to arrange nature in its purest form, we just tear it down and then say, let's put a tree in my yard. Let's tear down all the trees in my yard and then, buy some from the store, from the nursery, and put them here and here and here. If that crew that I hired to plant those trees, if they arrange them in the wrong way, oh, goddamn. Walking through the subdivision too, I noticed that each house, because like I said, the houses are very uniform. There's like three variations of houses, and they each have this little kind of bubble window sticking out, and it has a rack in it. And even if you close the curtain to that window, the rack is still visible from the street. And people put their stuff in the window, kind of pulling from George Carlin stuff, people's stuff. But they put their stuff in the window, their decorative stuff. And it's kind of cute, you know, walking by. I know a lot of little old ladies live in the subdivision, and they all kind of had similar sort of stuff, like fake watering cans. Not really fake, I guess you could use them, but decorative watering cans that have patterns, like floral patterns painted on them, you know, plants, just different antiques. Nothing too fancy, because that's the thing about like the stuff you put on display. Because it's like I had this thought when I was walking by these little windows and I saw how many of them had stuff on display, and I was like, they want people to see their stuff. You don't put something in your windowsill, especially these little bubble windows with racks, so that you can look at it when you're inside. You can't really see it very well when you're inside. You put this stuff in your window to like decorate the outside of your home so that people can see your stuff. It's like people can see your taste. People can see, like, I don't know, just your, it's a representation of your taste and who you are. And it's kind of cute in a way, you know. I'm not saying any of this to dehumanize people, but it, and that's even a fucked up term when you think about like the idea of dehumanizing, because it's like you either have respect for living things or you don't. And I understand it's a complex issue when it comes to eating animals, which I do, and things like that. But just in general, things basically come down to, do you have respect for life or don't you? So when we say dehumanize, I feel like it comes from this place that humans are the pinnacle of life and we are the best thing. And to say that a human is similar to, or just not, I don't know, it's to say that a human is similar in some way to an animal or this, is always viewed as this horrible thing. Like, they dehumanized them. They dehumanized the prisoners. And I understand what I'm about to say, I guess, is a weird form of dehumanization. But just like how nihilism can be positive, I think dehumanization can be positive too. Because seeing these little old ladies that display their decorative watering cans in the windowsill so that other people see them, it, to me, that's very similar to the way like a dog brings you its toy and is like, look at my toy. Old ladies are dogs to me. Old ladies are just dogs. but it's very similar to me. It's sort of like, look at my thing. It's cute. You know, I don't think there's any way to see that as a, you know, a bad thing. Like, I know there's, I know some people are very unhappy and judgmental, and they will see that that watering can in the window. I don't know why I can only think of watering cans. It's because I saw at least two of them. I saw at least two of, it's just such an old lady thing to buy, too. You go to, like, some shop, some bazaar, go to the bazaar, buy a decorated watering can with a rose on it. You know, it is very similar to that. It's like, look at my thing. Did you see my thing? And the dog brings you its toy, and it's like, check out my thing. I think it's cute. I don't think, but there is a certain form of person who sees that old lady's watering can and is like, fucking old ladies, fucking white old ladies. Because it's funny how that's such a, I've kind of gone away from the term virtue signaling in the same way that I try not to use the buzzwords of the left. I also try not to use the buzzwords of the right. And I do really like the phrase virtue signaling, because I think it's a very accurate way of describing certain behavior that everybody does, not just people of one end of the political spectrum. But I know, like, you know, the more annoying elements of the right wing have used virtue, they've abused the word virtue signaling. In the same way that people on the left, like, anytime a man sits down, it's like, he's manspreading, you know, and it's like, in the same way the left will abuse a phrase like that, which could be rooted in something that people really do, you know, men not being conscientious of the way they sit as some sort of gesture of power. I can definitely see where that's a thing. But at the same time, then you have this article, you have articles that come out. And I mean, this is all very dated. I don't really hear about this as much anymore, because buzzwords have a very distinct lifespan, you know, and fortunately they do die out. You know, because for a while it was like, here's the top 10, you know, you'd have these shitty websites that were like, here's the top 10 worst examples of manspreading throughout history. And I cringe even saying the term manspreading, because it's just, you know, that's the problem with buzzwords, is that things lose their actual meaning, and they become an easy way to describe something. And that's why they often take off to begin with, because people hear it and they think, oh, wow, like somebody has a word for that thing I've always noticed. And then they start using that word, but in using and misusing that word, and even abusing that word, because I'm rhyming here, rhyming with the word using, rhyming with words that are all derived from the base word of using. In the same way that, getting too out there here, in the same way that that word like encompasses something that like is based on a more complex thought, that word then when people use it and abuse that word, it kind of distorts what the original idea was, and you do end up with people. Basically, the buzzword destroys its own meaning. It becomes meaningless, and people just resent hearing that buzzword. But on the right-wing side, too, something like virtue signaling, where when I first heard that term years ago, it hadn't been completely adopted by the right wing. And it does describe a certain form of behavior. When someone expresses some sort of moral high ground simply for the sake of expressing it in this very empty sort of way, and it's often associated with social media, because it's when someone posts something on social media just essentially that really adds nothing to a particular idea or cause, but it's a way of saying, like, I'm on this team. I'm on this moral team. I have this moral high ground. But unfortunately, the right wing just grabbed a hold of virtue signaling, and just anytime somebody expresses any kind of particular feeling or thought about a cause, it gets called virtue signaling. People aren't allowed to stand up for anything. People aren't allowed to express anything that could possibly be based on some sort of moral leaning, or else they're called virtue signaling. So I try not to use that now. I don't know how I started going down this path. I was talking about little old ladies with their decorative flower. Oh, yeah, because people will see that and they'll be like, fucking white old ladies. And that's some weird form of quote-unquote virtue signaling that I see a lot in recent years, where it's like white people feeling the need to, like, criticize white people, particularly older white people. You wouldn't believe the white ladies who came into the restaurant tonight. They didn't tip. They're so entitled. You wouldn't believe these white ladies, you know. And I'm not saying that, once again, I'm not saying they're not describing a certain type of person that does behave a certain type of way, but it does become this weird form of, I don't even know, but it's the same type of person will, like, look at an old, a white old lady's decorations and, like, judge her for them, you know, and when they really don't need to. This is one hell of a study hall. This is the best study hall ever. Fireside study hall. Everything's on fire in this classroom. You know, so long story short, I see these, like, these cheesy little decorations, very Midwestern, very, like, baby boomer. And, you know, I don't judge people for them, but I see them and I think it's cute that they want people to see that stuff. You know, it's cute that those old ladies are like, here's my toy. Look at my toy. It's a dog running up to you that's very excited about their toy. But that need to, like, show people stuff is sort of weird, because I find that I kind of struggle with self-expression, because my whole life is basically based around self-expression. I mean, everybody's lives to a large degree are based on some form of self-expression. And you think about even the way that, like, a young man will blast loud music from his car, especially with a subwoofer, he's blasting music. He's not doing that for his own enjoyment. Just like the old lady isn't putting her decorations in the windowsill purely for her own enjoyment. Yeah, it's self-expression, but like a young man who is driving around just blasting bass music, there reaches a certain point where, like, that loud music is not satisfying in and of itself. Playing loud music is satisfying. Like, I know that when I crank my stereo, it's more satisfying than if I'm listening at a very quiet volume, depending on what I'm listening to and what I'm doing, of course, all of that. But
there reaches a point though where you're playing your stereo. I mean, because it happens at my house. If I'm like really hyped and I'm working out and the window's open, sometimes I do play my stereo extra loud because I almost want people to hear it. It's like I almost want to express myself and be like, "This is my music. I'm listening to my music, even though I had nothing to do with the creation of this music. I want everybody to hear what I like. You know, I want everybody to see what I like in my windowsill." But when guys are driving down the street, that's purely this weird form of self-expression to be like, I want everybody to hear the low-end resonance of my music. I want everybody to hear this beat. Because usually you can't hear what's actually going on. You can only hear the throb of the bass. I did a hand gesture when I said throb of the bass, like gripping, my hand just gripped the air. But that's solely so other people will hear it, and it's a form of self-expression. It's like, look what I do. And I have a bunch of theories about that with like the bass music in cars, where because it's coming from young men and it's sort of aggressive. I mean, it's not sort of aggressive. It's really aggressive, you know, the kind of guy who's blasting loud music is often the same kind of guy who like is kind of looking for trouble. And I don't mean like they're going to do anything seriously bad, but it's the same sort of guy. If it's a group of guys in a car and they're playing music loud, they're the same type of guys who will yell something at you. They're more likely to, in my opinion, to catcall. They're more likely to just, guys do this thing to other guys on the street. It's like the male on male version of catcalling. Where they just yell, like, and it's nothing intelligible. It's this, ugh! It's to me, one of the worst sounds on earth, and I didn't give it justice there. I didn't give it the true injustice of what it actually sounds like, because there's just this guttural, nasty yell that a group of males in a car will make toward another male. And it's funny when they actually do try to yell something, because they're in this extremely primitive place and they see another male. Like, I was jogging a while back and this guy, he was probably like an older teenager. Like, he'd probably graduated high school. He was in that like older teenager, like the true tween years. People talk about the tween years because it's like 12 to 13, 11 to 13 or something. The true tween years are like 18 to 21. The true tweens. But this guy was around that age and he was in a car. There were girls in the car, so that's another thing. If there's like teenage girls or younger girls that a guy's with, like, he'll especially feel the need to show what a great yeller he is. The fact that he can yell at another guy on the street. But I was jogging and this guy, you could tell he just wanted to yell something and he just yelled like, jogging or running. I think he said jogging, but it was like, it was just this garbled and like the only word that came out was just jogging. And you could tell that wasn't the joke. You could tell his joke wasn't just that he was yelling jogging. It was like he got caught in like a half thought of wanting to yell at me, but he was in this like primitive state trying to impress the girls. So it just came out as like this just jogging. And it's like, yeah, I am jogging, buddy. I am. You want to come over and say it to my face? You want to come over? You should pull over and tell this jogger here that you're aware that I'm jogging. Come let me know that you know that I'm jogging. But really, like when it's a group of all males like screaming at you, like just this unintelligible, just like gurgle, this loud gurgle. It's like one of the worst sounds in the world. Like, I think probably the only worst sound is when those same guys are catcalling you and you're a woman. And I'm sure women get the scream too, but I think they generally formulate a word or words to say to the woman. But the male on male thing is crazy because it's like, it's hatred. It's like two rams, but instead of rams, we've gotten to this weird point where one person's just in this fucking crazy vehicle floating by and they see another male who, for whatever reason, deserves their hatred. Because it does come from this, and I'm not saying it comes from some deep-seated hatred where it's like, I see that guy, I hate him. Let's yell at that guy because we hate him. It comes from just this deep, animalistic, competitive, nasty place. It's very ancient. It's very ancient. And it does feel like hate when someone screams at you like that. And that's what it is. It's like in that moment, that guy wants to kill you, but he knows he can't. And we're in a civilized world where we drive cars on liquid rock, hardened liquid rock, walking the rock. We're, you know, so civilized because we drive on hardened liquid rock that, you know, he can't kill me. He knows he can't kill me. So the next best thing is just to scream. But it does, there is something very violent about it. And I associate that with the loud bass music. And in that, the whole reason I went on this tangent is because the loud bass music, it's a form of war drum. It's a guy going out, and you think about war drums in primitive warfare, where you have the guy with the drum, and he's just banging the drum in a certain rhythm, an ominous rhythm, so that the enemy hears it from miles away. And it's like, oh, the enemy's near. They got the standard bearer. They got the standard bearer flying the flag, and the drummer boy, just banging that solid, bassy, that heartbeat, the heartbeat of warfare. And that's what I hear when I hear a very loud pulsing bass sound coming from a car. I'm like, that's the war drum. Doesn't mean that guy is out there to start a fight, but they are expressing something that is at its core aggressive. Not necessarily horribly hostile, but it is satisfying something in that guy that is sort of aggressive, sort of hostile. And like I said, when I'm blasting my music, because I'm not exempt from this, like I sometimes play music in my car. Like I've even done the thing, I do it less now, but especially when I was a teenager, where I bought like a new death metal CD that I liked, Suffocation Human Waste EP, which has never left my car. Pretty much very rarely has that left my car since I got it at Tower Records my sophomore year of high school. One of the best death metal recordings, just concise. That's, you know, Suffocation Human Waste. You know, I remember playing that in Bellevue, Washington, driving by the mall and blasting it. Not because I needed it that much louder than it already was, but because I wanted people to hear it. I want people to hear what I'm listening to. And it came from an aggressive place. And like I said, not like I was actually going to like start some shit or like I was actually looking for shit, but I was in this aggressive young male mode, driving on the hardened liquid rock. And I wanted people to hear what I was listening to because it was some form of self-expression. So, you know, just to tie this back, old ladies put flowering cans or watering cans with roses painted on them in their windowsill for the same reason that I blasted death metal CDs in my car driving by the mall. You know, it all comes from the same place that as the dog bringing you his toy.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free.